In our study of Jeremiah, we have proceeded along into chapter 23, etc. And going back approximately 130 years backwards to the days of Isaiah and the 10 tribes in the north part of Palestine, before the Assyrian captivity. And you would note in the wonderful admonitions that God gave by way of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 48, picking up if I can in verse 17. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldst go. I'm going to help you understand how to get to where you need to go, and I'm going to enable you to do it. Now, that should be a great encouragement and stimulus that God would say that. Verse 18. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments. If you had, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. If you just paid attention, I would have done this for you. What would have been the benefits? Peace as a river, and righteousness as the waves of the sea, endless. Otherwise, verse 22, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked, the evil. They just don't have any peace. And there isn't any peace. Apart from God, there is no peace. All the peace, the word we use it, the little five letters, peace, that we talk about it in different cultures and context and everything, but all of the time, we never have peace. We never have it in the light of, if we try to define it, when we try to define peace, peace is never pure. It's imperfect. And we talk about peace, well, because no one shot me today. You know, wow. Now, in the light of that, Isaiah 26. Now God encouraged them in the future, if they would just have sought it, and went for it in the day of Isaiah, but they didn't. And therefore, sliding directly, if I can, to verse 3, we shared it last time. Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep, guard him, the person, the believing heart, in perfect peace. That's the word peace twice. Peace, peace, shalom, shalom. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind, whose thought process, the forming of thoughts, to think, how we think, as we think, whose mind is stayed, supported, resting down on God. Because as we rest down on God, we're actually trusting, as we shared that last time at somewhere. You're sitting in the pew at probably Sunday. You're sitting in the pew, and the pew is acting, and you're allowing it for you to be supportive. And you could think all kinds of things and feel bad, but as long as you sit in the pew is the pew. And it's doing its job. It's supporting you. God, that's what you're looking for. I will keep him, the mind, the heart, resting down on God, is going to find that God is always God. And therefore, he's never disappointing, etc. Now, because he trusteth in thee. Now, having said that, over, if you would please, in the light of that, back over to Jeremiah. And we're talking 130 plus or minus years later. And they aren't doing any of that. And you would recall, as we share together, if I can, in the verse 17. This is the remember, these are the, God's talking about the prophets, the false prophets, the prophets, the priests, the kings, the leadership, the people. They're all on the same page, moving in the same direction. Jeremiah is all by his lonesome. We have no record of anyone else there. That doesn't mean there couldn't have been, but there just is no record of anyone else there. Jeremiah never has anyone to talk to. Verse 17. They say still unto them that despise me, the prophets, the Lord hath said, you shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh at the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. And we share together what was their consistent, persistent message that the people wanted. They wanted to hear that they could continue their lifestyle without interruption and from anybody, and be able to, and they needed to have the prophets and thus the priest. You need to have authority. And they're different than the 10 tribes in the north 130 years earlier, because here we are looking at we shared all these things together, that they're looking. The people are saying, the Lord this and the Lord. They were giving authority using terms and promises and counsel apart from God. But they were claiming God. God said, God wants, God will. But none of it was true. And that's what they were doing. And I'll read verse 17 again. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord has said. Well, the Lord didn't say, have peace. He said the opposite. If you don't stop, you're going to have famine, etc., etc. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart. In other words, they remember the imagination now in this case, consistently, Old Testament, is stubbornness. Stubbornness, being stubborn, hard-hearted, stubborn. That's consistent. And what with the imagination, the stubbornness of their own heart, and no evil will come upon you. That's contrary to everything they've been listening to from Jeremiah for all of these years. And they just don't pay attention. No evil is going to come at all. And that's what the whole, as we've been reading, looking in Jeremiah 23, etc., that's about evil coming. Now, therefore, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, here in verse 7:18. Now, God is going to say about the prophets, what about, how come he's going to expose them? The whole context of chapter 23 is exposing them, the prophets and the priest. Verse 18, what about them? For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord and hath perceived and heard his word? That's question number one. Who has done that? Question number two, who hath mocked his word and heard it? Question number two. Now they have no answer. There is no answer. Because he's asking them, by way of Jeremiah, here's the people, here are the priests, prophets, and all the different shapes and forms out there, as it were. Tell me, where are they, where's their authority? They say the Lord said, the Lord wants this. Where is the authority they have? They say something that's totally contrary to what God is saying. Now, how can that be? And that is Jeremiah over on the other side against everyone over here. So when Jeremiah, a single prophet, said, God said, and it was backed up by God, versus everybody, and they clap and shout, and the Lord said, no evil, and there'll be peace. Now, who wins? The crowd wins. Who can hear Jeremiah even with that loud noise of the people and the prophets? Now, So having said that, for who has stood, verse 18, who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and hath received and heard his word? Now, here's the who is doing that? So the two questions are asked, who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and heard his word? Now, who has stood to stand upright, to stand, to take information, to bring information to the heart, to get counsel, who has stood before God that they could get instructions on what to do and what to say and when and who to say it to? Now, God said, who hath done that? Well, no one did that. They're all talking, all reading the Bible, all praying and singing. And God said, did any of you guys ever ask me, look to me, apart from Jeremiah? The answer is no. Huge body of people in that day. And as far as they're concerned, the false prophets win, because that's their number. Plus, the people want to have what they want to have, the way they want to have it. And that's what they want. And any way they can find to get confirmation and have assurance and security that it's all right what we do. And we just read that in Isaiah chapter 48. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. There isn't any. But that's not what they're hearing, and that's not what they... And they don't want to hear anything else. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, who has stood? Now, in order to capitalize on that for us, if you would go with me, please, over to Exodus. Exodus in chapter 3. And we'll just have a little review of how to get to where we're going. Exodus chapter 3. And you will recall, here's Moses, after he's 80 years old, he's been 40 years taking care of a few sheep up there in the mountains, Sinai Mountains, running around with a few sheep, and he's up there, and at age 80, God said it was time, and God, as he goes past the normal path that he did, who knows how many times he passed the same path with the same bush. Everything's the same, except this time God is in the bush. And you'll recall, I'm going to pick up if I can in verse 3, not the whole context. And I'll read verse 2 at least. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, he got Moses' attention. God called him out of the bush, amidst of the bush, and the Lord said, Moses, Moses. And Moses talked to the bush, a burning bush that didn't burn up, and he said, here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest, there's your little word, is holy ground. Where you're standing is holy ground. Now, God, what are you saying to the prophets in Jeremiah's day? I never saw one of you in front of me. Prophets, priests, not one of you ever came in my presence and asked me anything. I have no knowledge of you whatsoever. And remember, our Lord is going to say that in Matthew 7. Many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not cast out demons, didn't we? He's going to say simply and clearly, I never knew you. I don't know you. Wow. That's sobering, isn't it? Wow. Now, so here we are. Here's Moses. Moses standing on holy ground. Now, that's Moses, and therefore Moses, when he goes to Pharaoh, you're right here still, chapter 3, verse 14, God gives the name, his name, to Moses to say, God said unto Moses, I am that I am, And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And so Moses, you're going to go on behalf of God to the people of Israel, and you're going to go and you're going to be authorized to speak. And not only are they going to have to pay attention, they're going to learn to pay attention, and so is Pharaoh. And it's going to take 10 plagues, finally the death of the firstborn, where he's got everybody's attention. Everybody's attention. God said, Moses, do you have authority? Absolutely. Moses represented God. No question. And God vindicated and shared that in the most wonderful way. Over, if you would, to Exodus. Deuteronomy. Now, that's God. God talking to people, Israel. And remember, we shared together that God delivered Israel across the Red Sea and brought them to Mount Sinai, and he introduced himself to them. And now I remind you, in the light of, about the prophets and all of that, Deuteronomy chapter 4, and picking up, if I may, in verse 10. Especially the day, this is Mount of the Ten Commandments, especially the day that thou stoodest, there's your little verb, before the Lord thy God in Horeb, Mount Sinai, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days, that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. In other words, I'm going to expose them to my marvelous person, and God did that. Thus, in verse 11, so we came near and stood under the mountain, at the face of the foot of the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, rising up who knows how high, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. Verse 12, and the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude. You didn't see God. Can't see God that way. Only ye heard a voice. So there's no question. You were whole, the 12 tribes of Israel, all 2 million plus people, are exposed directly to God. So if they just stay with it, which they don't, which they aren't going to do, if they just stay with it, God, are you going to talk to them as a people? Not just Moses. Would you go and talk to all of us? And God would speak. And so no one had to guess what he said. They'd all hear it. They'd hear it directly. What a wonderful thing to be exposed to God. Ah, but they didn't want that. And you recall, you know all that. So now, when I come down to verse 13, and he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments. He wrote them upon the 2 tables of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach the statutes and judgments, etc. Verse 15, take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for you saw no manner of similitude of on the day of the Lord, the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb, Mount Sinai, out of the midst of the fire. I, and in the midst of all that. So you had everything, you exposed, you heard, you understood. Chapter 5. And in chapter 5, you'll recall, having rehearsed, they're going to say it all over again, because remember now, Deuteronomy, after Moses finishes up to the mountain, God takes him, buries him somewhere, no one knows where, and takes him away, and in the process, they cross the Jordan River. So this is, everything's right up to snuff here, though. Everything's moving right along. Wow. So here, God, what are you reminding them about it before they cross the Jordan? He reminds them in chapter 5 and in verse 21. If they had just, remember verse 27, go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us that all the Lord your God, all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. Now we don't want to hear God anymore, lest we die. God is too awesome to listen to God, so we don't want to listen to God, but we'll listen to you, Moses. And that's how they're going to get the rest of it. But what does that open the door for? It opens the door for what? The prophets. Here's Israel. Are we going to turn to God? Oh no, we look to the prophets. We don't look to God. Now the prophets have been given an open door to come in and say whatever and hear and speak and do it. They have an open door. And that's how we got the false prophets all the way in Jeremiah. That's where we got them. You open the door. You said, we don't want to hear God. That's why you got the Bible in front of you, I hope. Now hang on to that. Now, so, and you know, in verse 29, oh, that there was such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. So, God, you had an awesome, wonderful opportunity you gave, I should say, to the Israelites, but they didn't take it, they didn't want it, and they backed off away from it, and therefore, God said if they just had a heart, but they don't, and they don't have a heart. So now, having said that little bit, and you're going to recall over, if you would, to all the way back to Jeremiah. Why not? Jeremiah chapter 6. And remember now, this is way up now to back to Jeremiah and the prophets. And you recall as we went and time went on with Jeremiah and the kings. And in chapter 6, verse 16, thus saith the Lord, what did you counsel? How did God counsel the people of Jerusalem and Judah? Thus saith the Lord, stand ye, there's your little verb, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way? And walk therein. Get your act straightened out, go back to the way it's supposed, what you're supposed to do, and do it. Walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. That's all. It'll work. Just turn around, get going in the right direction, in the right place, in the right way, and you'll have peace that passes all understanding. That's right. But they didn't want to do that. The end of verse 16. We will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. Hearken. Verse 18, therefore, hear ye nations, everyone pay attention about Israel, and know, O congregation that is among them, Israel pay attention, everyone else pay attention, hear, O Israel, verse 19, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts. Remember their imagination, their stubbornness is evil, Jeremiah 23 and 17. Verse 19, hear, O Israel, earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of thy thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. Now, here we are. So all they had to do is really to test, are the false prophets really saying the right thing? And is Jeremiah wrong? They didn't do that. They just assumed Jeremiah's wrong. They were trying to kill him, put him in prison, they will. We're going to listen to him. Now, the stand. Well, here the prophets, and they were there, but God said, you never stood before me. Never stood before me. And you're running all around preaching and saying everything, where I never said that at all. I never said those things. I pride this and this. I never said that, said God. Wow. Now, back over if you would, to 1 Kings. And you would recall, Remember our study we did of Elijah, and just recalling, chapter 17, 1 Kings, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth. Now, you're going to speak for God, Elijah? I am. And now you're going to add something that the men, prophets in Jeremiah's day, couldn't say. Verse 17, chapter 17, verse 1. Before whom I stand. I am standing before God. None of them could say that. Only Jeremiah. Only Jeremiah. None of them could answer it. And God said, Is there anyone standing before me? No, we're all running around. Wow. Now, so therefore, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word, etc., etc. And the rain stops and all of that. Now, having said that, so Elijah, you had authority, and God backed it up with no rain. And chapter 18. Next door, chapter 18. And in verse 15. Chapter 18, 15. Again, I'll read verse 15 for time. And Elijah said, As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, there's your word, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Jeremiah is, Elijah is just going to be doing, and he backs up everything. He said, listen, God, I'm following God's instructions. I'm representing God's wonderful person and God's wonderful will, and I'm doing it. Now, chapter 19. You know we did all these things. And Elijah finished the job up there in the mountains, all the way down Mount Sinai, where Moses is. Down there. Wow. So now, chapter 19, God is going to, Jeremiah gets discouraged because Jezebel and everybody, and you know, we shared all of those things about Jeremiah and why that happens. So here's chapter 19, chapter 19, and picking up if I can, in verse 11. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. Behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. So God did all these wonderful little things. And here's Jeremiah, here's Elijah, I should say, up in the mountain, back in the cave. All this stuff is happening up there. And in verse 12, And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after that, the fire, a still small voice, a whisper. So here's dynamic shaking, dynamic thunder, dynamic everything. I mean, the whole thing's moving. Wow. And then God says, shh. And he whispers to him. He says, shh, now pay attention to me. Be quiet. And we've shared together all that. God says a whole lot when it's silent. Learn to be silent before God and quiet. Not sleep. I'm not talking about sleeping. I'm talking about being quiet before God and just listen. Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. Shh. Quiet. Therefore, verse 13. And it was so when Elijah heard the whisper, he was listening, he's going to hear when God speaks, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood, there's your little verb, and stood at the entering of the cave. And behold, there was a voice unto him that said, What doest thou here, Elijah, etc., etc.? And Elijah gave his reasons and everything. Now, God, you did all of that. And Elijah was there. He represents you. And you were going to honor him. And you did honor him. Actually, how much did he honor him? Well, he honored him on the day, Matthew chapter 17, at the Mount of Transfiguration, way up there on the top of Jerusalem, Palestine. He and Moses, God picked the two of them to talk to Peter, James, and John. Two of them. God honored him. God honored the man. Wow. Now, having said that little bit, and in the light of all of that, Psalm 130. In Psalm 130, may I pick up, please, about Hezekiah and all of that, troubles and that. Sliding along, Psalm 130, sliding down, if I may. I'll read verse 1 even a little. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, verse 2, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, I'm going to try, God, I need to listen. I need your counsel. I need your guidance. If thou, verse 3, if thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, and there's your little verb, who shall stand? Who could possibly stand in your presence if you mark iniquity? If you take into account our human nature, who could dare stand in your presence? No one. No one. You're right, Hezekiah. You're right. Absolutely. No one. Now, so we want to quickly capitalize on it in a good way. Over, if you would, please. Over in your. We'll have to skip that. Skip that. Over. If I skip too much, I forgot what I'm skipping. You understand? Ephesians. If you mark, if you hold us accountable for our nature, our old sin nature, God, who on earth can ever stand in front of you? Now, Ephesians, and in chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, please. And you'll notice, if I can, going to verse 6. We are to be to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us acceptable. Remember, acceptable means highly favored, graced. Hath made us acceptable in the beloved. Now remember, I shared that, but you already know all, I'll just repeat it. This is the little word acceptable. It's the same word and the only other place it's used of the Virgin Mary, where the Spirit of God says, listen, you are, angel, you are highly favored. Highly favored. That's the word accepted. You are graced, Mary. We are graced. And no one else has that word. Acceptable. Now, what do you mean acceptable? Verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now, God, who can mark iniquity? If who's going to be able to mark, stand before you? It isn't going to be anybody on earth except the heart of the man or woman, boy or girl, turned to God. And come to know the Lord as a Savior, especially in this day of grace. And God, what do we have in your grace? We have the forgiveness of sins. How many sins? Colossians chapter 1. And in Colossians chapter 1, may I pick up the thought. Chapter 1, verse 13, in the great prayer. Colossians 1:13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us, transplanted us, where? Into the kingdom of his dear Son, his precious Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood. How so? Even the forgiveness of sins. God, are you dead? Remember Psalm 32? Blessed is he whose sins are forgiven. Wow. Now, chapter 2 of Colossians. Chapter 2. And picking up, if I may. And picking up, if I can, in verse 13. And you being dead in sin, your sins, and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And you keep going all over the place. God, how can you even talk to us? Because I have died on the cross, chosen by me before the foundation of angels and the world. I did all of this before anyone was created, including angels. So if you want to know my intention, that's my original intention that I have never stopped. Therefore, that's why you said in Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman, you've been forgiven, Adam and Eve. You just sinned. But God already knew that and died on the cross. That's correct. Now, so therefore, the forgiveness of sins, that's how you can even talk to us. We keep talking from our standpoint, well, God, we did this, and this guy did that, and that person did this, and we aren't as bad as that person, but we aren't as good as this person. So God, here we are, and then we don't want to do too much conversation with that because we can't go anywhere with it. And forgiveness has to come from where? From God. Who needs to be, who is the one that we have offended? God. God, you have to do the forgiving. No one else needs to forgive. You need to forgive. And God forgave before you were even created. Now, hang on. Having said that little bit, so therefore, God, what have you done? I have made it wonderfully, wonderfully possible for my body, the church, the believers in my believers that have received me as their Savior, I have made it wonderfully possible for them to be in my Son. And I want you to know, think of Matthew 17, that this is my beloved Son, hear ye him, hear my Son. Hebrews 1:3, God has spoken in the loudest way possible by himself in his Son. That's why the Lord will say, the words that I speak and the works that I do aren't about my humanness. It's about his deity. I want you to hear God straightway. So here we are, believers. Therefore, over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. And just do it quickly. You'll catch the flavor of it, I hope. Because what are we going to do? Well, here we are in the world. And we're going around, and we're supposed to be believers, knowing the Lord as our personal Savior in the body of Christ. And so we have an awesome relationship to God. Remember, the false prophets don't have any authority. They make a lot of noise, a lot of talk. But, here we are. We're just simple little old us, humans. That's all. We have been forgiven. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid the price, the penalty. We have been forgiven. Therefore, Hebrews chapter 10, reminding us, what do we have? Well, because we have been forgiven and received the Lord as our Savior, therefore, remember Matthew, Jeremiah 23:18, who has stood in the council of the, whoever stood before me? Well, they didn't, but boy, we're something else. And we are nothing compared to them. But, chapter 10, verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us, set apart made holy through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. God, what did you do? I made it possible for them to sit straightway to God. And God, is that what you taught? Yeah. If you receive me as your Savior, I and my Father will find our home in your heart. And in the same moment, you will find your home in my Father's heart and in my heart at the throne of God. Both are true. Now, we're simple little believers. Ah, yes. Forgiven? Aha. So you say, well, who are you to say you're saved? Who are you to say? What right have you got to say that? Well, we have every right. Because we have access to God. Incredible access to God. Elijah, you have no idea, if you could listen, you have no idea what you do now. What we have, you never had, Elijah. Moses never had. Moses talked to God what? Face to what? Face to face. The invisible God. Wow. Yeah, face to face. And we're way ahead of that. Uh-huh. Yes, sir. Yes, we are. Wow. And therefore, chapter 4. No, God, we have a wonderful access. How far does God have to move to get to you? That wasn't a trick. How far does he have to move to get to you? How far do you have to move to get to him? I don't know. What do you think? Nowhere. The problem is an attitude. We don't want to have their attitude, imagination, stubbornness. That loses out completely. Completely. Oh, that there was such a heart in them, said God. But they don't have a heart. If they just listen, they don't. So God, here we are. And that's all we can do. God is look to you, thanking you. That's right. What authority do you have? I don't, but God does. And we enjoy God's wonderful forgiveness of sins. We're forgiven. Uh-huh. Wow. And we have boldness. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly, 4 and 16, unto the throne of grace. What for? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So God, all we got, what's there? How far? How far do we have to move? We don't. All we say is thank you. And that's just as real. But unless you believe that, you'll never know it. How do you know? We've got over 7 billion people, more or less, that are just like us. But they have no knowledge, for many of them, no knowledge of God whatsoever. In fact, I had to go to a meeting last night, a meeting in the thing, and in the process, that says you don't need all the comments. Said, and I understand the background of the people. All I could do is listen. And they were talking about going to hell, and I just could listen. That's all. No. They said we've already been in hell. I was going to say, you haven't even touched hell. But I couldn't say it. It wasn't the time. I felt bad. I wonder what other people think that you work with, go to school with. What do they really understand? You ought to understand. I ought to understand. I ought to be God. If anyone has access, we do. Just like that. Absolutely. Wow. In closing, you've been very patient, and we didn't get very far. But I hope you understand a little bit. Who has stood before me? And each one of us, if we're saved, should be able to raise our hand. I stand before you, God. I do. Ah, what a difference, isn't it? And then we read the word. Where's the authority? It's in the book. And we are there in the presence of God to back up his own book, his own word. And so where's our authority? It isn't in our anything, or we have a badge on or something. No. The authority is that we are able to be a voice and echo and reflect the authority of God by way of his word, by way of his saving grace in Calvary's cross. And that's an awesome thing. And you have a right absolutely to do it. So when I say, and you say it, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. God backs that up. What you just said is, read it, quoted it, it's true. And if you do it, you'll get saved. Simple as that. I tell them that, you know, well, I don't have to fight about it. I need to convince you. No, I don't need to convince anyone. You just need to say, listen, it's real. And you either believe or you don't. And most people don't want to believe because they like the world they live in, just like the people in Jerusalem. Why do I need to change? I don't want to have to follow Jeremiah because then it says the rest of this thing isn't coming out. And you bet it isn't coming out. We're headed to tribulation. I just said that also. We just said, God, in the light of our state, Connecticut, in the light of our country, in the light of the global world we live in, boy, do we need your help or we aren't going to make it. How did that go over? We aren't going to make it, God. We're trying to be an influence to help people. It isn't happening. No. No, God. So therefore, I should say, Hebrews 13. And in Hebrews chapter 13, may I read it? Verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect, make you single-hearted, whole, complete in every good work. What for? To do his will. Who has stood in my counsel? Well, the believing heart is to do his will, working in you, that's how it's going to happen, that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. God, here we are looking to you, and you have given us the most awesome, wonderful assignment, God, to represent you. And we, as our Lord Jesus Christ, and then in his body, each believer, representing him properly, let's the Lord Jesus Christ be known, Acts 1:8, in Judea, Jerusalem, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Little old believers who have authority. But they have to have a heart for it and understand it. And that's where their assurance is. It can't be up and down like this, you know. Yeah, no. Straight down the road. Wow. Isn't that your privilege? To be straight shooter, without a question. Because you have authority. Where's your authority? In the person of Jesus Christ and in the Bible that's in front of you, I hope.